Episode 23 of Outlander Cast is brought to you by the Tag You're It Etsy shop. From Outlander-inspired necklaces and rings to custom designs for birthdays, Mother's Day, or any occasion, every piece is created by Dawn, one letter at a time, and is one of a kind. Please take the time to visit Dawn at www.tagyourit.biz. That's B-I-Z. Tell her Mary and Blake sent you and use the coupon code OUTLANDERCAST15 for 15% off your purchase. As always, tag your mama, tag your pet, tag your it, whatever it is.
They're criminals, out to line their own pockets.
The money we pay is for protection from the Redcoats and other raiding clans. They look out for us, Jamie, and our tenants.
What about the price on my head? If the watch knew, they'd turn me over to the Redcoats in a heartbeat.
That's why we're going to fill their bellies, give them a place to sleep, and you, cousin, are going to keep your wits about you until they've moved on.
I never would have agreed to this.
But you weren't here now, were you, Jamie McTavish?
Welcome to Outlander Cast with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars.
Sing me a song.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Outlander Cast. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I'm glad Horrocks got it in the back.
Oh, he is not a good guy.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because I don't want him in my city.
You don't want him in your city?
I don't want him in my city at all.
Okay.
He's talking about coming to Boston.
You're right.
He's got no place in my city.
No, he does not deserve to be on the East Coast.
No, he's got nothing. And I don't want him in my city. He's going to dirty it up, and he's going to come in here and think he's going to take everybody's money. You know what, pal? Go pound sand. You don't deserve Boston, okay?
Okay.
Don't come near the Northeast. Don't come near New England. You got nothing. So I'm glad he got it in the head.
Good. Well, it wasn't the head, it was the back. But
well,
yeah.
It's a figure of speech. Got it in the head. Like, okay. F you, you know? I can't stand you.
I'm glad. I'm glad he's done as well.
What a dink. And his stupid beard and his stupid hair.
Oh.
His stupid triangle hat.
Yeah, that was like a pirate hat.
Yeah. Go F yourself.
Oh, man. You know who we do love, though? We have a fantastic listener who sent us a care package.
Yes, she did. And I'm not going to call out your name because I'm not sure if you want to be specifically called out. But I just want to recognize and thank you for sending us a wonderful package of oatmeal cream pies. And
yes.
Boy, what was it? Butterfly cakes? Or was that what it was?
Butterfly cakes and then like crispy cakes.
Oh, sent me a small bottle of single malt. And oy, ay, 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 ay. And I'll tell you what, that got me through the weekend.
Got you through?
Yeah.
I'm the pregnant one who needs oatmeal cream pies.
I know, but, you know, dealing with the
dealing
pain
with
and,
me.
The,
thank
and
you.
The itching and everything.
Blake has, like, a lot of sympathy pains right now, guys. Of course, I am weeks away from giving birth, possibly having to be induced this week. Not looking forward to it if I am. And Blake just feels like he has all the pain. He's having the Braxton Hicks. He's having the baby in his belly. Oh, man, I have to wake up and Mary itches because her skin is so itchy.
I just got to say, you know, like, you helped me get through. And the package was phenomenal. And I just got it. And like I said, I wanted to make sure that you know who you are. And, you know, you gave us a great package. And like I said last episode, I always love a good package.
Oh, my
packages
gosh.
Are great. Just not BJR's package. Not LJR. I don't like LJR.
Okay. Now I want to eat an oatmeal cream pie right now.
I'm not getting it.
I'm pregnant.
I'm not stopping the recording.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, tell me how many kilts you would give this episode. 1 out of 5.
I'm giving it 3.5 kilts.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that like the lowest right now that you've given?
No, lowest I've given. I technically gave The Reckoning 3.5, but I switched it to 3. So this was 3.5.
Okay. Why?
I like the fact that it's continuing to work on relationships. As always, Outlander succeeds at its best when it's working on relationships. The problem is that this episode didn't know what it wanted to be. It didn't know if it was a happy episode. It didn't know if it was a sad episode. It didn't know if it was a thriller. It didn't know if it was mystery. It had to make one choice. Make one choice. And it didn't do that. And I'll get into what disappointed me in this episode when we get into the recap and all that other stuff. But yeah, it was too jumbled. And it couldn't tell what it wanted to be.
Hmm.
How about you? What do you got?
I'd give it a solid 4. There was a lot of good stuff in this episode. I think this episode is a bridge mm-hmm. episode, obviously, since we know that there's going to be major conflict going on at the end. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of different things. There was some love. There was some baby stuff going on. There was some bromance. There was a little bit of everything. It was a potpourri. There was nothing necessarily that I didn't like.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you that.
Nothing like stood out to me.
Oh, well, there are things that definitely stood out to me.
Uh-huh.
So we will talk about those starting now. But actually, before we do, a bunch of our listeners were able to tell us their kilt rating.
Eula Dillashaw said 3 kilts. This is more of a man's episode. Lots of fighting, lots of killing. And they didn't need the pot about the rough childbirth up front and personal. We know about them. They just don't want to rerun in our heads.
Okay. I gotcha. I can feel you. Kim Brothers Downing says my initial reaction was 4 kilts, so I'll leave it at that rating. Even though when I was thinking about the episode, there were some things that bothered me, like the way they portrayed Ian, and I was also not happy about Jamie acting like the only reason he wouldn't want to be in the watch was Claire. Like if it wasn't for the old ball and chain, he'd be all in.
I know. I don't like that.
No.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that, what she just said, but I understand where she's coming from about it. Penny Duzik. Does it? Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure how to pronounce that name. Armstrong says, I give it 5 kilts. I'm still crying about, and this episode was a lot different than I expected. And I got to tell you, Penny, I cried a little bit. Well, I didn't cry, but I wanted to cry, and I can understand why you would cry. But it may be a little bit different than what you're thinking. I got really emotional about the exchange between Jamie and Claire when she's like, well, look, we'll do anything. We'll do whatever it takes. I just loved how they are portraying Jamie and Claire just as a team. And they continue to build on that with each passing episode. And that's why I got a little emotional about it.
Okay. And DZ Stu on Instagram said, I give it 4 kilts. Great, solid episode. So much of the dialogue is the same, just moved around. Enjoying watching the relationships evolve among the characters. Loved that the title card was a shot of a pocket watch for the episode called The Watch. Nice play on words. And if the red coats are the plastics, then the watch are the frat boys. totally nailed it. So
love that, DZ Stu. Thank you so much. What do you say, Key? You want to get into the recap?
Yep.
All right, let's do it.
So The Watch begins where we left off last episode with Jamie facing a gun in his face. Mm. Facing a gun in his face? I don't really know what I'm saying.
Is that a little Captain Redundancy there?
A little bit. It's The Watch. Now, for those of you who don't remember The Watch, back in the episode called Rent, we were able to see some of these people kind of like bullying local Highlanders, getting some money, basically saying, we'll protect you from the Redcoats and other ruffians, but you got to pay us attacks.
You know what I got to say about all that?
What?
Bam! Just like that. A winner!
That's right. Outlandish Theory of the Week, proven right again.
Which one was that?
That I called it. Was The Watch that was there for Jamie.
Oh, okay.
That was me. I did all that.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I was kind of right about my Outlandish Theory. I said that The Watch was going to take him to Blackjack Randall.
Yeah, so you really weren't right.
No, I was right. It was The Watch. It was a half bell ring.
Except they were there thinking that Jamie was a thief. Just a thief, just walking by.
Yeah.
So they just let themselves go into Lollybrock, just head on in, don't ring the doorbell. They're in there. Come on inside. Oh, we don't know you, so we're just going to stick a gun in your face because we think that you're about to rob the poor people that we're pretty much robbing from. So the Watch, as I said, we saw them way back in the episode called Rent. You get to see them again now. And a lot of this episode is very different than the book. I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. So especially in regards to the Watch. Now, the Watch, they're kind of like the Robin Hoods. That's what they think they are. They think they're Robin Hood. Like, we're going to steal from the rich and give to the poor. Except they really don't.
They just keep it for themselves.
Yeah, they're just more like the pirates of the Highlands. Or more like the bullies, you know.
Or the mob, the mafia.
That's what they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is exactly what they are.
Nailed it.
They're the mob. You know, you scratch my back, I'll take care of you. Mm-hmm. I'll watch over you. But don't you mess with me. And you're going to owe me some things. Mm-hmm. All right? And you can't really trust the Watch. I mean, here's Jenny and Ian, who pretty much for the past 4 years have been, you know, the Laird and Lady of Lollybrock. They're pretty well off. And yet they still, you know, have to give these people respect.
Yeah, so, they still need these guys.
Yeah. So Jenny, of course, says, "What are you doing here? That's no scoundrel. That's my cousin Jamie." What?
And this is where I feel like the show really missed a good opportunity here.
What opportunity?
The fact that Jamie never ends up admitting to the fact that he is Jamie Fraser. He still had to remain Jamie McTavish. I don't like this. What I thought about this episode right from the beginning was that it was going to be an intense episode. When you found out that, okay, Jenny comes walking in. She says, "Oh, that's my cousin." It kind of lets the tension loose. It lets it go a little bit. And then it builds it back up again, only to let it go again. I really wanted this episode to be almost that scene that we're eventually going to get to when they're at the dinner table and they're talking to each other about, "I don't know about you. I don't know who you are." He's never mentioned you ever in these war stories. That to me is tension. You know, I wanted that, and it didn't give me that. I thought they really missed a step here.
I just thought Jenny missed a step. Are you seriously going to call him Jamie?
Yeah, that's true.
I would have been like, "This is my cousin Bob."
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob. How's it going? I mean, maybe she did it because she figured everyone on the property is going to call him Jamie, and she better be safe than sorry. But yeah, that's my cousin Jamie. No, not going to change it up at all. Okay, so all of a sudden, Macquarie says, "Okay, that's fine. Why don't we hang out?" And Jenny says, "Yeah, we'll feed you guys because once again, they're the mob and you need to take care of them because there's some scary guys." Jamie, however, is not okay with this.
No.
He runs into the kitchen and he says, "What the heck are you doing having the mob over for dinner? This isn't safe. This isn't something that we do." And Jenny says, "We got to do this, buddy. You haven't been here for 4 years. You don't know how the world works now, okay?"
And she gives him the business. Jamie McTavish, like the sound we played at the beginning of the episode here, she lets him know, regardless of the kind of, ceasefire they've come to about Jamie becoming the Laird and she has been running this estate for 4 years while he's been gone, she lets him know, "Jamie McTavish, okay, calm down. We're gonna do what we gotta do here, and we've been doing this in order to survive. We need it.
You don't know what's going on. You don't know the real world," is what she's saying.
So stop the nod. Know your role.
So all the guys, the mob, Jamie, Jenny, all their family, they're at dinner, and they start. This is when you're talking about when they start swapping war stories.
Correct.
Talking about the good old days in France and all the fights they've been in. Mm-hmm. And this is where Macquarie says, "I've never heard about you, though."
"Curious. That I've traded a lot of army tales with Ian, and he's never mentioned you."
"Ugh, I'm sure I must have."
"No, I'm sure you didn't.
You two weren't so deep into the drink, I'm sure you'd remember."
So, okay, this right here. And they had a little bit of a build-up to this prior to this playing the sound. This is where the show should have started, where it should have excelled, and it should have kept this tension. You know what? You remember the movie Inglourious Basterds?
I didn't watch that movie.
Yeah, you did. I remember you did. You watched it with me.
I must have fallen asleep. I don't remember it
at all.
Well,
for those of you who have watched Inglourious Basterds, the beginning of the movie is when Christoph Waltz goes into the household in France, and there's a guy hiding Jewish people there underneath the floorboards. And Christoph Waltz knows this, but he's still speaking to this guy like, hey, everything's okay. Everything's fine. He switches languages. The tension. It's Quentin Tarantino at his finest. It's one of the most riveting, compelling movie moments I've ever seen. And this scene in Outlander between McQuarrie and Jamie and everybody had the potential to be like that. But it just was killed, and it was the tension was let loose by Jenny being like, well, if you guys weren't drinking so much, you'd probably remember. And don't do that. Don't alleviate that tension.
I liked it.
I know. I loved it.
I would have done the same thing. I would have been like, this is an awkward moment. I'm going to make a joke. Ha, ha, ha. Wow, that was a good save.
No, and I guess so. But I just feel like the show could have – and it went back to this again later on in the episode when they were talking about why they kill Horrocks. Why'd you kill him? And clearly they wanted this to be a big part of the episode. And I say, let that go. Let it run. Let it ride. In fact, I would have loved to have seen a lot more of this dinner conversation being like just tense and not knowing and having McQuarrie almost poke and prod without coming out right and saying, you are somebody that I don't believe this story.
I think it was just enough for me. I completely disagree. I was enough awkward dinner for me, and I would have spoken up right when Jenny did.
Mm-hmm.
I hate awkward dinner conversations. I hate when people start fighting or getting weird. I as a viewer, I said, you know what? I'm starting to feel really awkward. They're going to figure Jamie out. Jamie doesn't know what to say anymore.
Yeah, but that's the beauty behind it.
Claire's going to start drinking and saying things she shouldn't.
Making bad decisions again.
And it was just the beginning of the episode. This is the build-up. You know, you can't let it all fly out. Because, of course, the next scene is when Jamie's trying to fix the horse's hoof.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy dumps his hot tobacco ashes in the hay on purpose. What a jerk! Like, he's literally sitting there and he's thinking, I'm going to set a fire.
It's a total bro move, just to bust balls.
So, of course, Jamie gets upset and he gets into a fight, which, by the way, bajillion guys versus Jamie, who just has a knife.
Jamie kicks ass, by the way.
He did. I love Jamie, but Jamie, these guys are like the watch. These are the mafia.
Mm-hmm.
How did you just beat them all off with a butter knife? Pretty much.
It wasn't a butter knife. It was a horseshoe.
Oh, at first, you're right. And then he got someone's gun. And
Yeah.
It was, well, because I thought he had like the little scraper thing that he took the horseshoe off with.
Okay, yeah, yep.
I don't, you know,
The man took out five dudes with a horseshoe.
But once again, it's Jamie Fraser. He can do anything. He's the man. So as he does this, McQuarrie says, holy smokes, you're a really good fighter.
I really like you.
I like you a lot. I'm sorry I gave you crap last night. Wow. You want to join the mob? Want to learn the secret handshake?
Get a tracksuit while you're
awesome.
At it.
Seriously. And you don't really get to think this out too much because good old Horrocks shows up at this point.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, I also think that this is where the show missed out on an opportunity here, too. Because it would have been better if it was not Horrocks. And I suppose they had to bring Horrocks back into the picture because he was an important player in Jamie and getting his name cleared. And I think they had probably have to give Horrocks more of a role. I think it would have been better if like they had somebody else, like the guy that Jamie beat up because he was beating up his kid. Like go and say, go to the British and be like, yeah, Jamie Fraser is here, and why don't you come get him instead of Horrocks doing it? You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, it would have been a lot more dramatic tension because everybody in Lallybroch is like family to the Frasers. Everybody in Lallybroch is like never going to give Jamie up. Well, it would, like, how great would it have been if it was actually somebody from Lallybroch who did all this?
Well, I'm just going to look away. Not going to say anything. Book readers all know what I'm thinking. Anyway, Horrocks comes up with his three-pointed pirate hat like a Lego player. That's the pirate hats that Lego people wear.
What a dink.
And this is where I thought that they took a little too much time with the awkward moment.
What do you mean?
I felt like it was slow motion awkward moment. Shot at Horrocks. Shot at Jamie. Shot at Horrocks again. Shot at Jamie. Do you lads know each other? Asked Macquarie. Shot at Horrocks. Shot at Jamie. Another shot at Horrocks. Another shot at Jamie. I was like, how bloody long? Of course they freaking know each other because they've now stared at Gaga eyes for 2 minutes looking at each other.
Guys way don't look at each other that long like
no,
that.
No, especially if you don't know each other.
Even if you do know each other, you're like, hey, bro, what's up?
It
and you move on.
Way too long. And maybe that was just me. Maybe time slowed down just for me. And I felt like it was eternity because I felt so awkward. But man, I just couldn't handle it.
Did you and notice the quick little wink that he gave after he says, nah, I thought I recognized
yes,
him?
Captain Obvious, everyone's looking at you. If you wink, everyone can still see that.
That's the universal sign for everything I just said is bullshit. Sorry.
What the heck? So, of course, Jamie goes back and tells Claire, oops, I thought I could be safe at Lollybrock. Excuse me, Jamie Fraser. There is a price on Jamie Fraser's head. Jamie Fraser goes home to Lollybrock, where Jamie Fraser's from, and thinks, I can be safe here. No one's going to find me. Really?
But you know what, though? I'll tell you what. I liked how they played this off. I liked what Claire had to say to him.
Why would he stay quiet at all? Surely there must be something he wants.
Lollybrock was the one place I thought would be safe. I should never have come home.
Don't say that. Whatever happens, we'll handle it. No matter the cost.
Right? Isn't that great?
No matter the cost.
No matter the cost! Whatever we'll do, we'll handle it!
Really? You know, but I'll tell you what, though. It was great. It was... That, to me, is a conversation that you and I would have. No matter what. You know what? Screw it. We're gonna deal with it. I will say, however, that I wish they actually went more into this conversation.
What? Where Claire could be like, all right,
This is what I'm thinking. This is what I want to do.
In the 1940s, we make this stuff called poison. We're going to poison everyone, and then we're going to burn the bodies. I saw it on TV in a movie once.
I saw it on Breaking Bad once. Yeah. Spoiler alert. No. I wish they had allowed Claire to be more part of the decision-making when it came to Horrocks and what Jamie was going to say. Like, we all know that Jamie ended up fessing up to Horrocks, fessing up to Macquarie, being like, hey, I killed him. There's a thing on my head here. I want Claire being able to help Jamie out in that way. Instead of just saying, everything's going to be fine. We'll do whatever it takes, no matter what. Well, let's discuss that.
I would just kill them all. I would.
Cutting throats.
Listen,
again.
I don't want any of these people in my house who would know anything about my husband. You're done. Poison. Whip some of the skills you learned from Galus. Poison all those people at dinner. But they don't. It's okay. And instead at dinner, they talk about, not at dinner, but they talk just about how they're there because they're planning on robbing the Chisholms as
good.
They go past. They're going to do their mob thing. You know, this is what we're going to do. Now, Claire and Jenny have a beautiful, now that we know what the boys are up to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Jamie's like, oh, I'm a good fighter with a horseshoe. He is. I still just can't believe it. I mean, maybe it's like, maybe, you know, maybe he's like Mayweather or Pacquiao.
Oh, good reference. You know? Look at you.
Maybe he's like Pacquiao. He's like, I'm so fast. I can even hit you with a horseshoe and you won't even know it's coming. Look at my little butter knife. Oh, now I got your gun. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what happened. So now that we know what the boys are up to.
Now I got your gun.
Claire and Jenny just decided, you know, poor Jenny. Her water breaks. Okay, they talk a lot about pregnancy. She had a long labor.
Long labor. All right, now tell me. What did you think about how they portrayed this labor process?
Jenny's a beast.
The water breaking, yep. the screaming, the walking on all fours.
Oh, yeah.
All of that stuff. Like, I know you and I have conversed about how labor is usually portrayed on television.
Yes.
And it's usually, oh, my God!
It's usually like you did this to me kind of screaming.
Yeah, and do you think that they had done that and they portrayed it accurately in this version?
I think they portrayed labor very accurately. I think Jenny's a beast. I'm surprised she didn't whine and cry more.
Because I know I cried.
Yeah, well, that's it. You didn't even get to see all of my labor. You couldn't handle it.
Let me tell you guys.
Once again, Blake's sympathy pains took over, and Blake had to go excuse himself.
I didn't have sympathy pains. It was... What are we talking about, sympathy pains?
I'm just making it up. But whatever it was, Blake wasn't there. Thank God I bought a doula, because Blake went out. He had to go calm down.
You didn't buy a doula. You employed a doula.
We employed a doula. And she's coming back.
She is coming back.
Because she asked me, she said, so how's Blake doing? I said, he has no freaking crew. He missed it the first time.
Well, I didn't miss it. I was there for the whole birth. Get out of here. No, what happened was this. I can't believe you just did that.
No, I'm just saying that you're asking about this part of Jenny's labor.
I was there for
the,
that.
The, like, moaning and the this intensity.
Let me tell the listeners what happened. Our son, our little Godzilla, Reese, decided that he was going to be, what was it, sunny side up?
Yes.
Okay, sunny side up, which means
face the wrong way.
Yeah, their nose is facing the spine as opposed to facing out to the tummy.
No, he's... opposite. The baby's head nose is supposed to face the spine for the most ideal way to come out, but Reese was facing my belly button.
Okay, well, whatever. It was sunny side up, great. And they had to literally turn the baby in Mary's stomach. So it wasn't as crazy as a breech baby.
No, but like what Claire was doing when she was touching the outside of the belly.
That's what happened with Mary.
Yeah.
And they had to get this big cloth thing called the Rebozo out. And they had to have Mary go on all fours, kind of like Jenny, but they treated her like a bowling ball. You know how, like, when you clean a bowling ball? That's what they did to Mary. They took the Rebozo, put her around her belly as she's on all fours, and they were turning the baby with this thing. And she was, like, in a lot of pain, and I couldn't deal. I couldn't take it. You know what I was thinking the whole time?
What?
Homie don't play that.
Homie, don't play that,
well,
yo.
That's really appropriate, and I can't wait to go into labor with you.
No, but ultimately, it was terrible, and I really couldn't.
Once again, I'm sorry it was terrible for you.
No, it was. Come on. It was terrible because I'm watching my wife in terrible pain. I mean, god-awful pain.
I handled it quite well.
You did, but there was literally nothing I can do. My charge in life is to make sure that you have everything you ever need, whether you got water or you got a house.
Not an oatmeal cream pie, obviously.
Well, I can get you an oatmeal cream pie later. Thank you again, listener, for getting the oatmeal cream pies.
Blake just won't get me it.
Fine. Stop the recording.
No. No, because I know you're not going to. You're going to tell me to stop the recording, but you actually won't go get it.
So
you'll fake it.
Oh, my God. That's so mean.
Homie, don't play that.
So... it was awful because there was nothing I can do. My charge in life is to give you everything that you desire. And I couldn't do anything. And I just had to watch as you suffered. And that, to me, it's hell. That is literally my hell.
How was it for you then to watch Jenny's labor?
I don't care. It was on TV. It ain't my wife.
I know, but when you watched it, and as you said, you saw her on all fours. I mean, it's very different from how American births are now modernly portrayed, mm-hmm. where everyone's like lying on their backs. Mm-hmm. You know, which
I thought it was interesting to see her.
That just doesn't make sense. I mean, I sure as heck wasn't on my back.
And again, this is hitting home to us because we're about to have a little lass of our own in about 2 or 3 weeks.
Hopefully.
it was interesting to me because you see her walking around on all fours. And I will tell you, I have never seen that portrayed like that in a movie or on a TV show. That was the first time I had ever seen that on the television.
Because people do things backwards. I mean, you saw me doing that.
Sure, yeah.
And that's what naturally you want to do. It's just, it's funny. Modern medicine has done some very different things. So
I'm surprised they didn't show her in the shower for 3 hours
That was amazing.
We had to go in the shower.
I wasn't dilated enough, and my doctor was so great. She was like, just go hide in the shower. I don't want you to go home. Just go hide in the shower, and by the time you come out, we can admit you.
And it was great because there was literally infinite warm water because we're in a giant hospital.
Had we been at home, it would have run out in 20 minutes.
We would have freezing by
then. We were like, okay.
We were literally in the shower for like 2 hours.
Poor Jenny did not get in the shower.
No, she had no
shower.
But
she had Claire, and you know what stinks? So, of course, her water breaks, and everyone who knows about birth knows that nowadays they tell you within 24 hours you need to have that baby. Because basically, your water is your seal. It keeps all the bad stuff out. Mm-hmm. And once that breaks, baby, it's like an open chip bag. You know, you just don't want it to go stale.
Did you just what?
It's like an open bag. It's like an open bag or like cereal. You know, like cereal bags. Yeah. If you don't seal it up, then it's mushy.
You don't want it to go stale.
You don't. You don't want it to go stale. You don't want bad stuff to get in there, man. Okay?
Oh my God.
You gotta close it up or eat it. Okay. Not the baby. I mean the cereal.
Oh, that's awful.
I like cereal. Anyway, so Claire, of course, knows this. Jenny probably knows something about it. And the midwife, she's out of town.
Oh, great. Great television there, because now Jenny and Claire, they have to do something together.
And I love
they have
that
to
Claire,
go through this.
Claire's like trying to be cool, like, oh yeah, I'm a healer. But really, we're all thinking, how many babies did you deliver when you were fixing up war men?
Yeah, pretty much.
How many vaginas have you seen that you had to delve into to turn a breech baby?
And she's like, yeah, no. I know. I've seen babies before. I'm going to reach in there and grab it. What?
And I loved how Claire was acting kind of cool, but really you saw this little bit of her where she was like, I hope I'm faking it.
Yeah.
I hope my face is totally faking it because I need some help. I would have said the same thing. I would have, like, if I am stuck with a friend of mine and they're giving birth, I'm going to be like, it's totally fine. I got this. I totally have got, because you have to keep your cool. You've got this laboring mother. Crawling on all fours, holding on to banisters, her water's already broken, the midwife is gone, and if you don't keep her cool, she sure isn't going to keep her cool.
I would have been like that guy, you know, like on every TV show or movie that ever exists when the baby is born, the guy's like, I need warm water and towels. And I would have said that, and I would have gotten both, and I would have been like, what do I do now?
It would have been like Claire in the first episode when she was asking for all the medicine. Yeah. And the guys just looked at her like, what are you talking about? Alcohol.
You had alcohol. Iodine.
So it was nice because Jenny got to talk about what it feels like to be pregnant.
Yeah. Now.
Oh, you're making a weird face. You didn't like that.
No. It's not that I didn't like it.
Are you uncomfortable?
Well, she's talking about like how the man's inside of you and like all this stuff. It's like, dude.
What?
I get it. I understand how babies are created. I got that whole thing.
Blake has a skeeved out face, and he's moving his hands as if he's going, ew.
Listen, I get it. I understand.
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea you were so weirded out by that.
What I want to know is that right? Again, I will defer to you because you're the pregnant one.
Okay. I am so pregnant right now. I mean, I loved when Jenny was talking about it because I was like, oh, I can kind of see that. You know, it's still in the same vicinity. And it was a beautiful description. But while I was watching this episode, I was being punched repeatedly in my crotch. And I was thinking, this baby's a lot bigger than a penis. I don't know. I mean, I thought, I don't know how big Ian is. But I don't know any man that is as big as a pineapple, because that's how big my baby is right now. So does it feel like
God.
That?
That just happened. That happened on our podcast. I can't believe that just happened.
Well,
on our
I was
podcast.
Listening, and it was a beautiful description. But
oh my God, how are we gonna have any listeners after this?
Anyone that's had a baby knows what I'm talking about.
Oh.
These things are freaking huge. Okay, this is a big thing inside of me, and I wish I just felt that filled up. I'll tell you.
Whoa, time out. What are you trying to tell me here?
I'm saying that you are not a pineapple. Okay, that's what I'm saying. God forbid, Blake.
Wouldn't have
worked in the first place if you were okay.
That's just my goodness.
No. So. I thought it was a beautiful way to express it, especially for Claire, who hasn't had a baby, hasn't gotten pregnant. And then we, of course, in the episode, get to hear Claire talk about how she is very sad to tell Jamie that she's unable to have babies.
Well, before we get into that, one of the things that really stuck out to me about this entire interaction between Jenny and Claire was Jenny doubled over in pain. She's like, oh my God, the baby's kicking. And Claire's like,
not the baby's kicking, I'm having a contraction.
Well, you know what I mean. It's all the same to me.
Once again, can't wait for your bedside manner in a couple weeks. This is going to be great.
And I'm going to have the same bedside manner as Claire. She was like, just breathe. What? Just breathe.
Claire doesn't know.
You'll be kidding me.
She's chopped off legs. She's sewn people up. She's never delivered a birth baby.
Ain't never given birth to babies before. Oh, my God. That was thing. She was like, just breathe. I'm like, that's not what somebody wants to hear.
I didn't know when Lamaze was created. You know, the...
Oh my God.
I wanted Claire to whip some of that out. I did. I wanted some like fun, funky, bit more modern, you know, like she could just say, where's the epidural?
Wait, did you just copy my Claire voice? Where's the epidural?
But she couldn't. So what else is she going to say? Claire, exactly. Claire would be as useful as you at birth. Breathe.
Yeah, just breathe.
You know,
yeah.
You know what Blake would say to me? He would hold my hand and he would go, relax. That was what I heard.
Baby, you got this. Relax.
No, you didn't even say, baby, you got this. You would just hold my hand, look very scared, and just say, relax.
No, I did more than that. I got you water. I got you ice chips.
I didn't have any ice chips. I just drank water.
No, I got you ice chips.
I don't remember eating them. You probably ate them yourself.
I even gave you a sandwich that you couldn't eat.
No, those are crackers. And then I couldn't even eat them because the baby came.
That's what I'm saying. I got those for you, too.
You had the sandwich. You had a whole dinner tray.
I did. I even had cake.
Oh, my God. This episode is just going to be very bad.
We've gone way off the rails on this episode.
Good Lord. Okay,
all right, continue on.
All right, so Jamie and Claire have this talk about how she can't have a baby.
Oh, now this was...
This is significant.
This was the soul of the episode right here. And I have the sound for it.
No one's to fill this house with our children. Hand down the good Fraser name. I've let you down, Claire.
It's me that's let you down. Truth is, I may never give you a son as beautiful as little Jamie. I don't think I can have children. I tried before I met you.
With Frank.
Jealousy right there.
I should have told you before we were married, but I never counted on loving you, much less having children with you.
For the best. There's so many things can go wrong. I wouldn't want anything to happen to you or for you to suffer.
I wouldn't mind the pain.
I would. I can bear pain myself, but I couldn't bear yours. It would take more strength than I have.
So, okay. Now, I know that was a little bit of a long clip, and I get it, but I wanted...
I'm just sitting here thinking, God, I bet Jamie would be really great in the delivery room with me. Oh, I can't bear the pain that you're in, Mary. I'm going to go eat my sandwich and cake. That was you.
Last night, when we were like, when you were like, listen, I can't record the podcast. What did I say to you? What did I say to you, my darling? I said, you know, this is a lot like Jamie and Claire. I could bear the pain... If you didn't have any, and you were like,
we're just not good.
Oh, that was so sweet. You know, like, and now you're throwing me under the bus. I can't. did anybody get the license plate on that bus? Does anybody see the tracks on my face?
Let's talk about Jamie and Claire, because as you said, this was very significant.
It was very significant, and like I said, I know it was a long clip, but I wanted to let it ride a little bit, and I wanted to let the emotion speak for itself. Because we have Claire here saying she can't have kids. And can you imagine the disappointment in Jamie in Jamie's being? And then him saying, yeah, you know what? It's probably better off that we not have kids anyway.
Well, in the book, it goes a little bit more in depth because he's like, I am kind of a wanted man. And now, like, you know, I'm kind of in a sticky situation.
Well, yeah, well, they allude to that. I mean, they allude to the things going wrong because of what you're seeing with Jenny. But they're also alluding to the fact that he is a wanted man. Mm-hmm. You know, and I like that. And the other big thing I think here is, and we just made fun of it a little bit, but it's the truth. When Jamie says, I can bear the pain, but I can't see you in pain. Now, to me, this is huge foreshadowing. Now he's going to be in the British hands. And you know Randall's going to hear about this, and you know Randall's got something brewing for Jamie. You know, he's got a little Jack Randall in his pants for Jamie.
LJR.
And you know he is going to make an exception to whatever he's doing for Jamie just to give him the business. So I wonder if bad things are going to be happening to Jamie real quick. You know, again, you don't introduce LJR earlier without and alluding to it like this without having it pay off at the end of the season. There's just no way.
Okay.
There's no way, and I think that's why I included it in here, because I really feel like that is a lot more important than it was more than just a throwaway comment towards Claire. I think it's a lot more significant than what we're actually intending it, or what we're interpreting it to be.
Well, I think actually, in my opinion, the significance lies in Claire.
What do you mean?
Scene. Just for her to be able to admit that and to say, I didn't intend upon loving you. It sucks as a woman to have the responsibility, whether we like it or not, that we are the ones that are able to reproduce,
mm-hmm.
and that men can't. I, to this day, wish that they could make babies in little tubes, and here you go. See you in a couple of months.
I'd say every other day I get the comment, I wish you could just take it for a day.
Yeah, I do. I really
wish we could share it.
I wish that I could have odd days and you could have even days of carrying this baby. It'd make it a lot easier.
I couldn't deal with half and the crap that you go through. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
Oh.
And that's why I'm glad I'm not a woman. And I'm not saying that to be belittling in any way. I mean, like, I'm very proud of you for being able to do that.
I know, but that's why I'm saying it. The responsibility often just lies with the woman, and it sucks because women who do struggle with infertility, not only are they upset, but then they feel like completely guilty.
Yeah,
they feel bad. They think that because of me, we cannot have a child.
Yeah, but it's not always necessarily the woman's fault either. I mean, men can be at fault too. You know, you can think that it's the woman's fault, but some guys are infertile.
But this is what I'm saying, is that Claire is the one saying it. So yeah. In this particular instance, she's saying it. I didn't love how Jamie said, with Frank. Because I wanted to be like, yeah, Captain Obvious. Like, what kind of hussy do you think your wife is? With Frank. Or as if the rest of the audience needed to be reminded she had another husband.
I know. And part of me thinks that's why they put that in there.
Just in case. Just in case you are tuning in and you didn't watch the first half of this season,
mm-hmm.
she had another husband. And his name was Frank.
Do you think he dislikes Frank?
I think he's a little jealous because he deflowered his woman.
You think that's – well, you know what it is? All right, I'll tell you what it is as a guy.
What? Isn't that it? You don't want anyone to know that they've been with your lady?
No, well, it's more like – all right. When we started dating, I knew that you were mine and I was yours, and I fell in love with you the instant I saw you. And that sounds corny, but it's really true. But I still, to this day, cannot stand your ex-boyfriend. Can't stand him.
One? You think I have one ex-boyfriend?
No, but like the one that you had just before me.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Before the jabroni that you were dating before you met me.
Okay.
Okay, that clown, I can't stand him. And I don't even know him. I think I've said maybe one or two words to him. And there's a couple of other boyfriends you got in there that I don't like. But I don't even know who they are. I maybe have met them once in passing, and I can't stand them. I don't even like the sound of their names. I don't even like the sound of their voices. I don't even want to see a picture of them. Maybe that's what Jamie's going through. Like,
just don't want to think that they exist.
That, like, that clown, like, oh, God. Ugh. Just thinking about it, just sends shivers up my spine.
Ugh.
Such a dink. He's almost as much of a dink as Horrocks.
Horrocks. Okay, so Horrocks is downstairs, and he says, I know that you're rich. This is your home. Na, 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 na. I want to go to Boston. Okay? Starts singing a Boston song. And Jamie looks at him. He's like, bro, why are you telling me this? And Horrocks is saying, because I know you're loaded. Mm-hmm. And if you want me to keep this secret safe, you gotta figure something out. So Jeannie and Horrocks decide to meet in a very bright, open area, like a stone's throw from the castle.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeannie has the money, and he's talking to Horrocks. And then somehow, super stealth mode, peg leg Ian. How the hell are you so quiet? What? He came out of nowhere. You didn't even hear a twig crack.
There's no leaves rustling.
He has a peg leg.
He didn't hear like...
Maybe Ian can fly. He just came out of nowhere.
It's stealth mode.
Once you realize, you
maybe
know,
Ian's a ninja.
That's what it is.
Maybe he's like...
He fools everyone. Like when he's hobbling at the end. No.
Hell no.
No.
That man could go crazy. He's like Yoda. That's what he's like. He's like Yoda. You know?
Yes. Where you think that he's very quiet and fragile, but then comes Star Wars Episode 2, boom, I'm fighting, I'm flying, I got this. That's exactly what I pictured Ian to be like. I pictured Ian to look out and have the Mission Impossible song in his head, and he like had a little rope and a levee, and he was flying around in the trees, din, 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 and then stab.
Right through the back.
Oh my gosh. What a great stab. But poor Ian, he was shook up. I think he was shook up because he just spent so much effort being a ninja. I'm sorry. I just can't believe that Ian was that quiet.
He's like Gandalf, you know? Not Gandalf. Dumbledore. He's like Dumbledore. You think he's all like, he's all frail. And then he fights Voldemort.
Oh my
gosh.
He
just kicks Voldemort's ass.
Well, yep.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Hey, nice job.
Hey, you like that, huh? Yeah. I'm the one who made the reference this time. I actually think that's our first Harry Potter reference this half season.
Oh, it might be.
And I did it. That's amazing.
I'm very proud of you.
Oh, I'm awesome like that.
Well, so they go back to the castle after Jamie reminds Ian he needs to wipe off his very bloody sword.
Nice, nice bit of detail there. We did make fun of it a little bit, but with the shaking and the fact that he hasn't done this, and the adrenaline is pumping. He can't even sheathe his sword and forgets to wipe the blood off so it doesn't stick later on. Really great bit of detail. And but you know, Jamie then goes into this little diatribe of, oh, remember when we were young and we talked about fornication or killing, which one was gonna have us go to hell? Yeah. And like, I don't really need to hear Jamie talking about fornication. It seemed forced. It seemed like it was shoehorned in there. And just talk to me about killing. Like, do you remember the conversations we used to have about killing people, like how we were going to go to hell? But it was then followed up by this great bit of writing when he's like, yeah, well, we're going to go together because you'd never be able to get by yourself. And Jamie has this little smirk of like, you know, man, we're bros. We're awesome. And yeah. I love their bromance. This bromance is phenomenal. I love how they're interacting with each other. They've got great chemistry together, these two guys. And you really feel like they're buddies.
We're gonna move through this next part quickly.
Okay, go ahead.
Jenny has a baby. Baby is a girl.
Did you feel like that she was gonna croak?
I read the book.
Oh yeah, that's right. Sorry. I'll tell you what. I didn't feel like she was gonna croak.
Good.
Even though they alluded to it. Even though that my mother and wow, another interesting bit of writing. Jamie's mother died while giving birth.
Yeah, like almost tons of bajillion women, you know, in the 18th century died giving birth.
Yeah, but that's something that I hadn't known. I didn't know that.
I know, but man, you could literally be like, your mom's dead, she got sick. Your mom's dead, she died giving birth. Your mom's dead, she got sick. Your mom's dead.
She died giving birth.
Yeah.
It was like a 50-50 shot.
Seriously.
No, but it was interesting to find out that she died giving birth. And that is an interesting fact. I like that a lot. And what does that say about Jamie's relationship with his mom? It's almost similar to the way my mom died. It was out of my control. And maybe he feels responsible for that. Or maybe he feels like he could have done more to help her or something to that effect. The way that I felt when my mother died, I felt like I should have been there to do more to help her, even though she was in Florida and I was in Massachusetts and there was nothing I could do. And even if I were there, she had an aneurysm. She died. That's what happens. And it was something that is just unpreventable. And the same thing for Jamie. Completely unpreventable. And I like the layers that are happening right now with Jamie. And again, it's adding to this, to the reality that Jamie is a real person, not a myth. I like this a lot.
Wrapping up with the girls' relationship, after Jenny kind of gets her stuff together, and you said you liked how, you know, a couple of days later, took her a while to sit down.
Yes, that was another good attention to detail there. She
I
like,
needed a donut. Yeah. So I was glad to see her take her time and hold her still remaining puffed out belly.
Yep, that was good stuff.
And she gave Claire a set of bracelets that had belonged to her mother. She said, you're tall and queenly, just like she was. Aww. The Lady of Lallyrock should wear them.
Now, who do you think? Do you know who gave those bracelets to her yet?
I read the book, yes.
Okay. I wonder who gave them to her.
Okay.
And the reason why she didn't want to say nothing is probably because she really didn't want to split the family. I wonder if it was Murtaugh who gave them to her. Because didn't Murtaugh have like this really, like, didn't he really care for Jamie's mother?
She was the hottie.
Yeah. So I wonder if it was Murtaugh.
There were a lot of people who wanted
them. But they were beautiful, though, by the way. Oh, my God.
Oh, I would not wear them.
Really? Why not?
They're too big. They're way too big. I can't wear those at all. I mean, they described them in the book, and I understood how big they were, but nope, that is not my style. You better not have got me those for my birthday. Is that what you got me for my birthday?
Mary's birthday is tomorrow, as a matter. The day we publish this, that is Mary's birthday.
Is that what you got me?
Cinco de Mayo.
If so, I don't want those.
No, I didn't get you that. I got you something way cooler than that.
Good.
You guys will find out what I got her next episode.
Okay, so while the girls are having babies, making friends, passing around jewelry, Horrocks, you know, he's dead, and Godot Macquarie, he's like, hey, 1 + 1 = 2. 3 go out, 2 come back. What's that math?
Why did you kill him? And this, again, a great bit of tension here. They should have elongated this.
Didn't have time. It's only an hour.
We'll take out some of the crap that was earlier in the episode. Like, I just feel like this episode should have been a tense, a thriller kind of episode.
You need a breather, okay?
We got the breather last episode.
No, last episode was lovey, okay? Last episode was lovey-dovey.
But you and I
this
both agreed that last episode that it was a breather. That was why I gave it 4 kilts, because it allowed you to take in everything that happened in the Devil's Mark.
They can only have awkwardness for so long. He can only say, Horrocks isn't here. Where is he, guys? Like, you can't drag that out much longer.
I suppose you're right. I wanted more out of this. I wanted more tension.
I liked it.
This episode would have really succeeded in my eyes if there was more tension.
Well, Jamie just comes out and he says, oh, I killed him. There's a price on my head. Awkward silence, but just enough.
Yep.
And then
he's like, good.
Good. All right. I didn't like him anyway.
Hey, you want to come join me? Because basically, Jamie owes the guy for killing this guy, for killing Horrocks.
He basically says, good, I didn't like him, but since you now just told me there's a price on your head, I want you to join the mob. Because you're a really good fighter.
Here's your tracksuit. Here's your gold chains.
Here is your horseshoe.
Tony Soprano comes out.
And Claire and Jamie have to say goodbye. Yet again.
Oh, it was so sweet.
Jamie, this is not a smart move.
No, it's not, but he has to. He killed Horrocks.
I would just poison everybody once again. I would say, shoot, why did I just tell them my secret?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to poison everybody. Instead, he's like, oh, you guys want me to join the mob? I am a good fighter.
Okay, shucks, guys.
Oh, man. He goes, and poor Ian, ninja, he's probably like, boy, you think you're good with a horseshoe. The only reason you're good is because I'm a stealth ninja. But I have to keep my identity secret.
Yeah. I can only do it every once in a while.
And Ian, what the heck with you? Your wife is in labor.
And she's like, yeah, just go. I don't need you here anyway. I got Claire. She'll take care of me.
These women handled this very well. I would be pissed.
Yeah. I was going to say the times they are changing. With giving birth, because there's no way on God's green earth that you would have let me go fight some random clan with stealth mode over here, and it just wouldn't happen.
No.
Especially while you're giving birth.
I would have just whacked you up the head and said, are you kidding me?
Are you out of your mind? Like that time. the time I asked you to go to, I could go to Chicago.
Oh, you mean a month ago, pretty much? Mind you, I'm very pregnant. And Blake says, hey, so my friend wants me to go with him to his bachelor party, like the week after you're due. Where it's in Chicago, so it's just going to be like 4 days or whatever.
Oh, I didn't say it was like two.
And then we're going to like see, you know, a Chicago Cubs game and stuff. It sounds really fun. What do you think? And I said, when is it again, Blake? Oh, a week after you're due. Okay. Are you really asking me this, Blake? Yeah. You know what? Times haven't changed. Boys still don't know what's going on. Oh, my. Fail. Absolute fail. You are just as good as Ian. But you are not a stealth ninja.
Not a stealth ninja. I'm a lumbering
idiot. You are not
idiot.
Even as good as Ian. Gosh. Poor Ian.
I'm as good as hobbling around Ian. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh. Okay, so the watch goes out and... You know, there's Jamie, and he's like, something doesn't look too smart about this. We're in a hole. We're in a hole, guys.
I love this bit because they were like, you just showed them. Like, as soon as the scene started to go down, I was like, oh, no, this isn't right. This is wrong. And you could see how there was no way to get out. And the way they shot it was really cool with Jamie looking around, thinking, realizing with the music and the slow-mo. Great shot because you felt that tension build up. Again, more tension. I wanted more of this. But you know what we missed, actually, is the conversation that Jamie had with Macquarie while they're riding to this ambush.
Make a name for ourselves and write songs about us.
You paint a body picture, Macquarie. If it wasn't for Claire, maybe I'd take you up on it.
We'll talk again later. When your blood's up, you've got gold in your pocket.
Or what? You'll turn me over?
To the British? Never. I've seen the inside of a jail myself. The toll booth. I wouldn't wish it on a dog. I'd shoot you first.
Now, do you believe him when he's saying this?
I don't know. Does he shoot Jamie? Because the redcoats show up, and I don't think he shoots Jamie.
Well, I'll tell you this. What would have been better is if Jamie had fessed up to him being actually Jamie Fraser. Because Macquarie still thinks, like, everybody's like, oh, Macquarie's such a, like, he's like a gentleman's thief. Like, he has honor and respect. And no, because I guarantee you, if Macquarie thought that Jamie Fraser was Jamie Fraser and not Jamie McTavish, he's on his ass. He is out the door and given up by the watch. I guarantee it.
I feel differently. I feel like he's a true Scot and he says, you know what? I don't like the English. He says I wouldn't do that to a dog.
Yeah, but he likes money.
He does like money.
And I know Jamie admitted to, you know, to...
I think he would just say, I'll keep you your secret safe as long as you're my mob. And what the heck, Jamie, being like, I don't think I'd like to join the mob because my wife probably wouldn't like it. But other than that, it sounds pretty cool.
Now, okay, coming from a guy, again, this is one of the things you realize. Yeah, this...
He's really young.
I probably shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't even be out here right now.
I shouldn't be asking to go to Chicago after my wife gives birth. Probably not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
I did just get married. The mob sounds fun.
But you know what? I know that it's wrong. So I'm going to do what guys do. I get my stealth partner.
Ninja.
We're a good team.
Ninja. Maybe he could teach me his ninja moves.
What I'm getting at is, as a guy, you don't want to look like you're weak. So you say, yeah, sounds great, bro. Love it. Love the idea behind it. But I got my wife. She probably wouldn't be too happy with me. So I'm going to blame it on her. Even though you know that it's you don't want to do it anyway.
Typical husband.
It's a guy thing.
That's
what
exactly
do you want me to do?
Oh, I can't go to Chicago because Mary would.
The boss says I can't go. Sorry, man.
Not that you have a newborn. No. The boss.
That's right.
Goodness. All right. And then of course, all we see is white. We don't know what happens to Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
And Ian comes hobbling back 3 days later.
Yeah.
That took a long time, that poor thing.
Well, you got to hobble all that way. What do you want me to do?
Where's his leg?
That's right. It was missing. It got stuck in his horse. That's what happened.
Ouch. He couldn't ninja.
Ripped off. He couldn't.
He might have an Inspector Gadget leg.
Go, wooden leg.
And all of the little gizmos are in it. And that's why it took him so long.
Dun, 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 dun. dun, 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 dun.
Man. And he comes back with no Jamie.
Go, go, gadget leg.
And Claire says, I'm going to have to save his sorry ass.
And she's like, time to go.
Man, girls just got to do everything, you know? Gotta take care of a breech baby. Gotta go pick up my husband because he thought it'd be cool to join the mob. Man, this is not easy.
Tony Soprano let him down. She thought
she was going to go and live in Lollybrock and live happily ever after.
Things were going to be cool.
Nope.
No.
Sorry, Claire.
Not when you're in the mob.
Nope. Don't join. This is, you know, the more you know. You know those things that you'd watch?
Da, da, da.
The more you know.
With a little star.
Don't join the mob, guys.
Especially the Scottish mob.
It is time for our listener feedback. Our friends on Facebook, Maria D. Pisa Brady, said Macquarie's character was well done. Not a flat good guy or a bad guy character. Jamie sees him as a threat, but perhaps also sees a life he himself may have had if it weren't for different circumstances. Molly James Jameson said, I told my husband that I was so impressed that they showed Jenny actually laboring for what was like 2 days. First time I think I've ever seen childbirth depicted on TV or film realistically, and that most women aren't having raging contractions as soon as their water breaks.
I agree. It seemed like it was actually kind of real. Like maybe they had like a birthing expert on stage. They're like, nah. You know how they have like those history experts like on Downton Abbey? They're like, oh, no, you don't hold your arm this way. You do it that way. And you say this when you say that. You hold your hat like this. Maybe they're like, no, thanks.
They should have hired you. You know so much about birth.
Yeah, I know, right?
You were there for so much of it.
Well, I was. I was there for the whole thing.
Instagram.
My Girl Paradise 1107 says, I'm going to need a bottle of wine in order to get through the rest of this season.
Oh, I just want a bottle of wine in general. At some point, Super Chiva Girl said, this episode was good, tense, and heartbreaking at the same time. I'm dreading what is coming in the next episodes. I liked how they did a slow-mo when Jamie kissed Claire before leaving. It reminded me of the first episode when she kissed goodbye to Frank for the last time.
Aww.
I didn't even catch that.
I didn't catch that either, but that was great stuff. Team Frank all the way. Angie's 2883 says, I'm loving the back and forth relationship between Claire and Jenny. They're the sister that each of them, they've never had. And I really like how it seems that Claire has finally met her female match. It's very sweet. And you know, I got to tell you, the evolution of their relationship going from trollop to reaching inside your vagina to grab your baby, that's a big gap, and they went over it. You're looking at me funny.
Yep.
What are you looking at me funny for?
Just talking about things you don't know about, but yeah.
What are you talking?
Yes, Claire, the relationship has evolved. Yes, it has.
And I like how it's evolved. They've gone from, again, hating each other to now they're sisters. You know, now they're giving birth with each other. It's really cool stuff. I like that a lot. On Twitter, Debbie Shoemaker says, pretty sure pregnant women don't want to hear, just breathe. Hashtag tip for Blake, hashtag the watch.
Or just say, relax. That's another thing pregnant women will really want to hear. Outlander Dream 1 said, Outlander is so good, if they don't win some Emmys, I will be surprised.
You know what? I want to pump the brakes for a minute here. Listen, I like Outlander a lot. I think it's a great show. But it's a freshman show, okay? It's not the only person, in my opinion, that is, and you guys are going to hate me for saying this, that is deserving of even having his name thrown in the conversation for an Emmy. Not even like, oh, hey, Emmy, but just being in the conversation is Tobias Menzies. He's done a good enough job to do that. And they very rarely give freshman shows like this Emmys. You have to kind of earn your keep a little bit, unless you are an all-time great show like Mad Men or Lost, and I'm not sure if Outlander is there quite yet. So it's very good, but I'm not sure if it's ready for Emmys quite yet.
I don't feel the same as you, but anyway, moving on. Glam Mod Moms tweets, I wanted more from this episode, more Claire and Jamie and less of the watch, but it was nice to have it be different than the book. And the Home Acre tweets, and on a completely different note, the Pacquiao fight is $100 on pay-per-view? Wow. I'd rather pay to watch Outlander.
Meet Jane Black says, when your friend asks you to go to a bar on a Saturday night, and all you really want to do is watch Outlander. You know what? That happens to me all the time. Remember when we were like, hey, you want to go out? And we're like, it's Outlander night. No, we're not going to go out. Sorry. Manio Gourmet 247 says, I've seen Childbirth. And yes, I stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. I love those commercials. Awesome stuff. Wicked funny. Good. That was a very close second to being the tweet of the week. You were like inches away. All right, kid, what do you want to get to the voicemails?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Hi, Mary and Blake. It's Teddy Potter in New Jersey. Blake, I need to call you out a little bit on feeling that Jamie Fraser is written as a one-dimensional or boring character because of how he perceives him as the perfect man. I need you to read the book and revisit that statement because Diana Gabaldon writes him very richly textured. He is a man that is modest and has many moments of self-doubt. Yes, he's got the episode on Stars took a different direction with his stumbling, which I found refreshing, too. I didn't mind it. But please do not assume that he is as perfect as we perceive him, because he is not. And in season two, you will see imperfections. You will see imperfections throughout. I mean, I'm hoping that they show him in that way in the subsequent seasons if we get more than season two. So, Blake, we love him. We, meaning the people who adore James Fraser, see him as a perfect man, and it's because of all those flaws and how he handles them and how he views himself in the scheme of things that makes him even more perfect.
I'm Marianne Blake. This is Pam from Northern California, and I liked this most recent episode. I just wanted to say one thing, and that is that this was the first time in the whole series that I felt like I wasn't watching Sam Heughan play Jamie, and he's done a great job playing Jamie so far, but this was the first time that I actually felt like he relaxed into his character and he was becoming his character instead of playing his character. And it made me think about how when you have these long running seasons of shows, the characters really kind of settle in after the first or second season, and then they own their character and you can kind of get lost in it. And I saw glimpses of that tonight, which made me look forward to future episodes. So the thing I liked best about this particular episode, The Watch, was because Sam really just sort of relaxed a little bit and he seemed to play the part of Jamie more naturally. All right, thanks you guys. Love you.
Hi, Mary and Blake. My name is Carol and I'm calling from California. I love your podcast. This is the first time I've called in, had a lot to say about this week's show. And I just think you guys are the cutest thing. So I wanted to say that this episode seemed big, the biggest departure from the book of any of the episodes so far, but I really liked the changes that they made. I felt that the addition of the character Macquarie actually added a lot to the story, and it was interesting to hear Ron's comments afterwards saying that Macquarie was kind of the what could have been for Jamie's life if he had made a couple of different choices after being a soldier. So that was actually really interesting. I liked the relationship between them, and it was interesting that they said that Jamie got captured because he didn't want to leave Macquarie behind when he got wounded. So I liked that. I felt like the childbirth scenes were a little bit contrived, and I understand that that comes from the book, but it didn't make sense to me that Claire would have any experience with midwifery or delivering babies since she'd been working mostly with men and soldiers in war. And so I think part of that was just to further the relationship between Claire and Jenny, and it really did do that. But my background actually is in delivering babies, which I actually was lucky enough to do as a career for 5 years. And I don't know, I just felt like some of those scenes were a little bit contrived and unrealistic, but they did well with it. The actresses, of course, are wonderful. The other thing I wanted to say was about that slow motion shot when Jamie and Claire say goodbye and he turns and walks down the hallway. It was interesting that they chose to do that. I guess that was the last time they're going to see each other before some major events happen in the future, and I don't want to spoil anything here, but I don't know that I liked the use of slow-mo right then, but it looked beautiful. It was artistic, so I wanted to say that as well, and then wanted to say I'm really looking forward to the next episode because I know Jenny and Claire are going to go on a Thelma and Louise type adventure, and that probably is going to be a lot of fun. But anyways, I want to thank you for your podcast, and it's so nice to be part of this Outlander community and have some discussion going. None of my friends and family here really watch it, and I'm a big fan from way back when the book first came out, and so it's nice to be able to have people to share that with. Thanks, and keep up the good work, and good luck with your new baby. It's going to be so exciting. Bye.
Carol, let me jump in here, as I always do, to anybody that calls for the first time and say thank you and welcome to the family. But let me say, I also think that you have a couple of good points. I love your point about the birth and how it was actually very different from Mary's point of view, which was she felt it was pretty accurate. And obviously, you have a lot of experience with it, too. So going from that, I just thinking that it's not accurate or not as – or it's contrived – I love the difference of opinions that I think I always say this every episode, but I think it's true. But the thing I really wanted to capture here is the comments you have about Macquarie and Jamie. Now, I know Ron Moore had said this, that he was somewhat of a mirror or what Jamie could have been had he made different choices. And yeah, I mean, I suppose that's probably true. I tend to think that Macquarie is not a mirror for Jamie, but more like if certain circumstances went a specific way, maybe. But I still don't see Jamie going through Scotland and pillaging fellow Scots and taking money and selling them off to the English and doing the things that the Watch do. I just like again that scene in Rent when they're just taking the people's money and burning houses down. I don't see Jamie doing that. I don't feel like, regardless of whether or not he made specific choices or whatever, that doesn't feel like Jamie's character to me, even if he made those choices. So I think I have a hard time accepting that portion of it. And Pam, about Sam finally settling into this character. Yeah, I think you're right. I suffered from that too, knowing that he was Sam Heughan, and he's this big, strong, attractive guy, and he is playing somewhat of, like I said earlier in the episode, a myth. He's playing Jamie Fraser, you know, like how can you be that? How can you do that? But yeah, you're right. I think he's settling into the character very well, and the more that I see him, the more that I see Jamie as opposed to Sam. I'm reminded almost of that last trailer for the movie Black Mass. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the legendary Whitey Bulger of Boston, but there's a new movie coming out about Whitey Bulger, who was like the most infamous criminal in Boston history back in the 70s and 80s, 60s, 70s and 80s. He was basically an Irish mafia boss. Actually, the movie Departed was based on Whitey Bulger. But Johnny Depp is playing Whitey Bulger in this new movie. And in the trailer, he kind of shows up and you're like, oh, that's Johnny Depp with contacts and white hair and weight. That's weird. But as the trailer went along, you really got lost and you didn't see Johnny Depp anymore. It was Whitey Bulger. It was kind of scary, as a matter of fact. So that's what I'm kind of reminded of. And Teddy, thank you for trying to call me out. I think that he is portrayed in the book, at least what people have told me is that he is the king of men and that he succeeds at a lot of things that he does. And I'm sure that he is flawed in ways in the book, but from what I'm told, he is written as though he succeeded at being Laird. And to me, again, if you succeed at everything, or if you succeed at most things, that's boring. And there's just no two ways around it. I mean, either you have to have some conflict, and I'm glad that they chose what they did to give the conflict to Jamie.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Julie Payway. I'm calling from Des Moines, Iowa, with comments about The Watch from last night's episode of Outlander. And first of all, I am a book reader, so it can be a little difficult at times to separate the show and just watch that and enjoy that for what it is. But I thought they did a really great job last night, even though it did deviate a little bit from how events happened in the book. They wrapped it together really nicely. I was not expecting Horrocks to come back at all. And the way they explore the watch and that whole relationship and pulls him back in, I thought was just outstanding. The only hole that I thought was a little weak with that aspect of the episode was when Ian and Jamie were talking the next morning or 2 days later, whatever, leader of watch, when he started questioning them about where Horrocks was, they kind of looked at each other like, we don't have our story straight. So as long as they were gone, I thought that was a little weak. I thought they should have, they're both smart men, they should have had their story to unpack. The other thing I wanted to comment on was the set that they have for Lollipop. I think is just absolutely outstanding. It looks like a home. It's beautiful, and it looks quite a bit different than I thought it would in my mind when I was reading the book. It just is a lot richer and more intricate and detailed, and I think they've just done a marvelous job with that. And the final thing that I wanted to comment on was the Jenny birthing scene. And I have two children myself, and so I view that, those scenes, just having gone through it myself. And I thought, she looked great after being in labor for who knows how long. She looked fresh as a daisy when she, you know, from the beginning to when she delivered him, so I thought that was a little bit unrealistic. And then, although that did provide some great bonding time and bonding moments for Claire and Jenny. So I think you guys are doing a great job. Love, love, love listening to your blog, and excited to hear more. Thanks.
Hey, Mary and Blake, this is Kendra from Lincoln, Nebraska, calling in about episode 113, The Watch. I'm going to try and get through all this because I took a lot of notes. I love the title card, literally a watch fob, clearly a metaphor for time running out, and really, really it is. I loved Karen's toast, a stiff whiskey and another one. He certainly speaks Claire's language. Jenny's willfulness, I think, is really tempered by fear in this episode, you know, especially in light of her mother dying in childbirth and Jenny looking down the barrel of her own labor. And we finally get to see Jamie going full-on badass, which is great. This episode is a complete departure from the book, but so, so good. Oh, my goodness. The watch is mentioned, but never really directly involved with the plot in the book. And so I really loved getting a deeper look at it. Claire, when she says, whatever happens, we'll handle it no matter the cost, huge foreshadowing. It's nice to see Horrocks back. In the book, he seems a mere contrivance of the plot to draw Jamie away from Claire so that she can make a dash for the stones and get captured by BGR. Jamie never actually meets with him, and the issue never really fully resolves. He learns the truth of who the murderer is from Sandringham. Jenny, backlit by the fire, is just so beautiful. I love that shot. I also love the placement of the pregnancy monologue. In the book, Ian and Jamie are in the room with them, but here, with Claire prompting it to take Jenny's mind off the pain, it gains some added resonance. It's sharing the secrets of womanhood, which is dear and sacrosanct. So, so beautifully written. With one exception, a squirming fetus at the end of your pregnancy feels nothing like sex. I don't care what you may be into. I love the line, that's what they want sometimes, you know. They want to come back. That's so true. Claire's stricken look is absolutely heartbreaking after this, because she finally realizes what an earthy and mystical experience she may be entirely missing out on. And at the same time, she seems almost ashamed to be hearing Jenny's intimate experience. Then later in the scene with Jamie, when she apologizes for her infertility, you see that same struggle that every woman faces. Claire has the mommy guilt without the comfort of children. She apologizes to Jamie, but Katrina plays it as if she's apologizing to the unborn baby she has failed to bring into existence, like she's already failed them, even though they were never really there. You see Jamie's strength and clear love for Claire because he plays the stoic hero to her face to assuage her guilt. When the camera lingers after her exit, he's left just absolutely shattered. He has a moment of transparency during that scene when his voice lowers considerably on the "with Frank" line. which is a beautiful, beautiful acting choice from Sam. And of course, the men downstairs, proving they have absolutely no clue about the real pain of childbirth. And then in the goodbye scene, the tender intimacy of Jamie and Claire's goodbyes, I think, is far sexier than any of the prior love scenes. But it's juxtaposed with a wrenching terror and grief for what neither of them really knows is in store. The foreshadowing of Jamie's slow-mo retreat is almost too much to bear, and I wanted to scream at my TV. I was like, don't go! That, in combination with beginning the rolling of the thunder while still fading out into the next scene, is as clear a warning sign of here be dragons as I've ever seen. I love that. I also love that they didn't have Jenny on her back during active labor. That is so much more realistic than, you know, the typical modern childbirth scenes where, you know, they're flat on their back. Jamie's realization that they waltzed into their own trap is really chilling. And he realized that Horace's plan all along was to turn over the watch to the Redcoats in order to attempt to buy his way back into the good graces of the English Army. But, of course, he never got to follow that through. Jenny's reaction to Claire's kiss was a sucker punch. I never saw it coming. Acting is about making choices. And that was a beautiful, beautiful choice from Laura Donnelly. And she made me unbelievably love Jenny. That ending shot up the desolately empty bend in the road is horrifying and brilliantly metaphorical because we are about to turn a very, very dark corner on this show. And it's with equal parts excitement and trepidation that I'm looking forward to the final three episodes. So I am going to give this 5 kilts. I'm amazed and shocked, but this just usurped the Garrison Commander for me. It felt to me like the convergence of all of the armies of Middle-earth before the final battle in Return of the King. The players are all here, the stage is set, and all hell is going to break loose. This episode really makes you care so much more deeply because you have to be invested to endure this final rush to the finish of the season. I love it, love it, love it. I can't wait to hear you guys' analysis of it. And I will probably call you back next week. Bye.
All right, let me jump in here again because what I want to mention, first of all, Kendra, thank you for bringing it. And you brought up a number of good points here. First, Jenny's pregnant form backlit by the fire. You're right. Unbelievable shot. Great looking. Just seeing the female form. And listen, the female form, not just because I'm a guy and because I'm into chicks and all that other stuff, but the female form, it is stunning. It is a thing of real beauty, especially when pregnant. I love looking at my wife. She is the best. But to me, she's even better looking than when she is pregnant. Really, just really beautiful stuff. You also brought up the fact that the kiss and the way that they spoke to each other, Jamie and Claire, that is a lot sexier than any other of the sex scenes. And thank you. Thank you. There's somebody else who makes me think that I'm not crazy. You know, I love sex scenes, but sometimes I feel like they overdo them. And it's the subtle, small things that exist in relationships that make them special, not just sex. And I know that their relationship in the book is really based on sex, and they have this unbelievable sex life, and it's great, and it's wonderful. It's like porn sex. But I don't know. I just feel like when you're married, you have to have more than that. And when they have these little subtleties, it's really proving that they do have more than just sex in their relationship. And as for Claire's kiss to Jenny, yes, I love seeing Laura Donnelly's reaction. Really great stuff. And then also you talked about the Garrison Commander being usurped by this episode. And girl, I can't disagree with you anymore. I really can't. But I'm going to say this. You bring it every week. And I've officially, that's it. I have, that's it. I ring the bell. There it is. I decided that we are going to have the Kendra Thought of the Week. It is going to be an official segment of this show. I've made the executive decision. That's it. So I'm going to, next week, I'm going to have music. I'm going to have everything. It's going to be an official segment of the show. It's going to be the Kendra segment or the Kendra Thought of the Week. That's what we're going to do. And I hope you call in next week and you hope you live up to this gauntlet I've just thrown down, because you've earned it. You keep bringing it and I love it. So keep going.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Robin from Maryland. I just wanted to let you know I really enjoy your podcast and your other online activity. I also recently loved your interview with Carolyn Tracy from My Outlander Purgatory. I thought that was very funny and entertaining. I just wanted to let you know what I thought about the episode. I thought it was a masterstroke to fix something that did not quite flow in the book. I thought this part of the story was unnecessarily complicated by the watch and then the red coats, and it just made more sense the way that the writer on the show took the story and kind of smoothed it out. And really, just that I would give this episode 3 kilts. I thought it was very well done, and it pushed the story forward, and it just gives you more excitement for what's to come. That was all. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Hello, Mary and Blake. This is Keisha calling from Washington, D.C. Just wanted to let you know that I am a Girl Scout, and I had to camp this weekend, but I made sure that I watched The Watch this weekend. Even though I'm a book reader, I feel that The Watch was a great setup and a segue to Wentworth. I think that it was interesting how they brought in the watch. You know, basically it's like the mob, you know, watching over a family in present day, you know, 20th century world. And it's something they had to deal with, even though, you know, Jamie was a little hot-headed and kind of pissed about it. But like Jenny said, you were here, you know. So back up, dude, and just get in line and deal with it. They'll only be here for a little bit, and when they roll out, we move on. Horrocks, he was just a ruddy bastard to begin with. So he took it as he got it. So it was just interesting how Ian was the one who did it, you know, always had his back, Jamie's back. So we'll see. Then they're not showing any, you know, extras for next week, you know. And we'll see what the clips are, but I give this episode 4 kilts. And I like the way the show is going. It's the show, it's not the book. And Diane loves it, so I love it. Thanks so much, guys, and I can't wait to hear the podcast. Love and kisses from Maryland, the Washington, D.C. area.
Hey, Mary and Blake, it's Peggy from Newton. How you doing? So glad that Mary's feeling so much better, and she looks fantastic. Okay, so episode 113, The Watch. Very cool that Ian stepped up and was the insanely great brother-in-law that he is. Also, the fact that they changed the section of the book that involved the birth of the little baby was not so bad from the book perspective. I think that they did a really good job, even though a good 60% of the episode wasn't in the book and they added so much more to it. I do like the fact that they showed an ambush. That was really, really cool, because it was that dun 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 section and really all hell did break loose. It was a good bridge to where Jamie was going to get captured and sent to Wentworth, which we're all dreading. Also, I just listened to Ron's podcast with Tony and Matt and was very surprised to hear them say that they actually had a pregnant woman on set, that Claire was pushing her belly, and that it wasn't a fake woman on set. It's a little creepy in a way, I guess, but it's really nice. And I guess apparently the woman was fine and she didn't get hurt. Also, again, back to Ian. Best brother-in-law ever. Why not? Why wouldn't he, you know, protect his family? And that's his bro. That is a serious bromance. My God. And Laura Donnelly, fantastic. Wow, what an amazing actress. She plays off having a kid really well. Since she's never had one. I wonder if she's ever seen a birth. Anyhow, that's all I really have to say. There's not really much else to say. I really like the scenery. Again, Lolly Brock from the outside was really gorgeous. And, oh, the fire in the wagon. I wanted to strangle that guy that kept screaming, fire, fire. I was like, if I was there, I would strangle that bastard and throw him on the fire. But yeah, pretty good. And the watch being like the mob of England, too funny. They really were like the enforcers. It was ridiculous. And I know enforcers, and they would never act like that.
All right. Thank you for those calls. Peggy, I wanted to address what you said about the fact that there actually was a pregnant lady on set. And wow, that is awesome, because we were just talking about that without knowing that you had talked about this, which is amazing. So I can't believe they actually had a pregnant lady on set. Well, I can, because they are pretty thorough in their details. But really cool that they actually used a real pregnant lady to switch the bodies and everything. And I love how everybody has come up with this term for the mob. Here I am thinking that like we're wicked smart, calling these guys the mob, and everybody else is saying the same exact thing. So, I just feel really stupid about that now. As for Keisha, I'm really glad they actually changed, I guess, from what you're saying and everybody else is saying, that this is really different from The Watch. And we've heard multiple callers now say the same exact thing, that this watch is different from the book Watch. And I'm glad that they wrote it this way. I'm glad that Diana had signed off on this, because it's the way that it should be. They're doing an excellent job. And Robin, thank you for listening to the My Outlander Purgatory episode. Yeah, we had a lot of fun doing that. The ladies from My Outlander Purgatory are awesome. And God, they are just so cool. So if you haven't got a chance, please go listen to our episode with Carol and Tracy from My Outlander Purgatory. I think it was episode 21, I think, right around there. Anyway, yeah, so thank you. And again, smoothing out the story with The Watch and Jamie and just, you know, kind of streamlining it. They've done a good job here. And it seems like it's actually really confusing in the book. And it didn't. It was not bad in the show.
Hello, Mary Ann Blake. My name is Ashley Richardson, and I would give this episode 4.3, I don't know if that exists, but I'm making it exist, 4.3 kilts. What I loved about it was I thought there were some really beautiful moments with the cinematography. I loved the view that you get going, following the camera around, following Jenny around into the kitchen, and you get to really see the inside of Lolly Brock a lot more, and the beautiful view from outside, from a distance, seeing the house, and the silhouette is really beautiful. And a lot of the moments I thought I'd missed from the previous episode that were in the books with Jenny, they kind of made up for in this episode. I wasn't a huge Jenny fan at first, but I think I'm starting to come around. The actress is just wonderful. She's doing a really good job. So I'm trying to have an open mind, but I think, you know, she's a little problematic for me still, but I'm coming around. I'm starting to like Jenny a little bit more. And her gown was beautiful, and seeing her pregnant belly silhouette, and the lighting was, I really thought that was beautiful. Although it was a little silly to me that Claire put her hand on her belly and just automatically knew, oh, it's breached. Oh, all of a sudden I know your baby's breached and I'm going to try to move it around. And, you know, I thought that was a little bit silly, but I guess they had to get it across somehow. And there's so much information they are throwing at you in this episode that it's a lot of information to take in at once, but
you know, I understand it's a big book and a lot of information that they have to get across to you. The facts about Jamie's mom and his brother and Sonny and the Claire sharing that moment about maybe being barren, just a lot thrown at you. But I like, you know, the changes that they're doing on the show, and makes it more exciting for us book readers, because we don't even know what's going to happen, you know, taking on Game of Thrones kind of style, where just kind of going off on their own storyline a little bit.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Kathy from Saratoga Springs, Utah, calling again. After having watched this week's episode, The Watch, and my prediction about a baby, where Claire said that she might not be able to have children. That was such a touching scene, and I thought Jamie reacted beautifully. The actors handled that so well. I loved it. And I'm kind of sad, but I'm still hopeful that there will be a baby, because I'm hoping that it's Frank's fault that there's no baby, that there was no baby. So I'm hanging in there with my prediction.
I just want to give some background. Kathy had called earlier this week and predicting that Claire was pregnant because of her conversation with Galus. And I didn't play it because she addressed it in this voicemail after this episode. But what I want to say is, damn you, because you stole my outlandish theory of the week, and I'm pissed. I'm pissed because I thought I was really smart, and thinking that, again, there's a theme here, thinking that I'm really smart and I'm really not, that Claire was going to have a baby, or either that she is either one, pregnant now, or two, going to be pregnant very soon. So now I have to change my whole freaking outlandish theory because of you. You totally robbed it from me. Damn it. Anyway, well, great outlandish theory of the week. And as for Ashley, I think I actually know I spoke to you on Twitter, and I said it before. I'm going to say it again because I know you're a new listener. So welcome to our family. Welcome to this crazy Outlander cast family, where we have discussions and steal each other's outlandish theories of the week, and listeners get their own segments, and hopefully, and it's insane. So thank you so much for joining us, and I just keep calling, keep engaging. I think it's great. All right, everybody, thank you so much for the voicemails. As always, you bring it, and I love every second of it. But, my darling, do you know what time it is now?
The Tweet of the Week time.
Let's do it. Julie Pugh, you are the Tweet of the Week this week. And you said, every time I hear Horrox, I think Horcrux, followed by, you're a wizard, Harry. Total nerd, hashtag The Watch.
Julie Pugh, you're my new favorite.
And just for you, Julie Pugh,
you're a wizard, Harry.
So, I just played the music again. Anyway, never mind. Sorry. Anyway, thank you, Julie Pugh, for being this week's Tweet of the Week.
Woo!
All right, darling. It's time for your favorite part of this episode. The favorite, most famous part of this, of our show, as a matter of fact. The award-winning, Emmy award-winning part of our show. I think we got a Tony, too, once.
Not with your voice.
you don't like my accent? You don't like my voice? I'm not Hugh Jackman?
It's not your accent. You have no pitch.
I got pitch.
No, you don't. You have one pitch.
What's that?
That is your pitch.
All right. It's time for this week's Outlandish Theory of the Week. And this Outlandish Theory of the Week is brought to you by Sarah Linda's Enchantment Etsy shop. Please visit them at www.etsy.com/shop/Sarah Linda. That's spelled Sarelynda. And check out all of their Outlander-inspired accessories they have, including some amazingly detailed and intricate metal cuffs that they have with, like Jamie's stag and everything. Really beautiful stuff. Anyway, that's what this Outlandish Theory of the Week is brought to you by, Sarah Linda's Enchantment. Okay, Outlandish Theory of the Week. You ready for this, kid?
Yes.
All right. Since my original Outlandish Theory of the Week was taken by my girl, Kathy, What the hell? I got nothing now. I literally got nothing. I had time to think about this, and I've got nothing. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so frustrated by this. Actually, I'm really proud of you, Kathy. Thank you so much for putting me in this position. All right. Oh. Here we go. I got it. Ready? This is it. Outlandish theory of the week. Now Jamie is going to be captured. And it's going to have like this kind of rhyming almost where Claire is going to go try to find him just the way that he found her and rescued her. Although it's not going to be Claire that rescues him because she's not going to be capable of rescuing him. It's going to be Dougal. Dougal is going to go rescue Jamie. That's how he's going to get out of wherever he's at eventually, because Dougal knows that he needs favor back with Colm. So what's he do? He goes and finds Jamie, rescues him, brings him back to Colm, thinking this is going to get him back in the good graces of the Laird of Castleleagh. So that is my outlandish theory of the week, and I am sticking to it. Hopefully it comes true, because I had to go on the fly in that one. All right, my love. That's the end of this fantabulous episode. You ready to close it out?
You bet. As a reminder, this episode of Outlander Cast is brought to you by the Tag Your It Etsy shop. From Outlander-inspired necklaces and rings to custom designs for birthdays, mine's tomorrow, Blake, Mother's Day, oh, that's Sunday, Blake, or any occasion I'm giving birth, Blake, every piece is created by Dawn, one letter at a time, and is one of a kind. Please take the time to visit Dawn at www.tagyourit.biz. That's B-I-Z. Tell her Mary and Blake sent you. And use the coupon code OUTLANDERCAST15 for 15% off your purchase. As always, tag your mama, tag your pet, tag your it, whatever it is.
Wait till you see my birthday gift I'm getting you. You're going to be floored. Yeah. You're going to be pumped. You're going to be so happy. You're going to be coming back here. You're going to say, Blake, I'm sorry for busting your balls for
Chicago.
The past number of episodes.
Chicago. Oatmeal cream pies. Relax.
I told you I'd get them for you.
Yeah, we all know that's a lie.
Oh, my God.
Okay, everyone. So, I, once again, am on bed rest. I don't get out much anymore, so please chat with us. I want to hear what you think about this podcast episode, everything. Our social media handles are all the same. It's OutlanderCast. So, that's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and you can visit us at OutlanderCast.com. Check out our store. We have all different cool t-shirts that you can find. And we want to hear your voices.
So you can call us at 503-454-6730. And if you like the email machine, well, you can get us at outlandercast@gmail.com.
And we want to always thank our friends who review us on iTunes. It makes me so happy.
And me too.
And the Angela N-G-I-E-C-K. I don't even know if that's a real word. I'm just spelling it. Said, terrific. Mary and Blake are absolutely delightful. Mary, being a book reader, is a woman after my own heart, and we are totally in tune about this show. Blake is hysterical with his unspoiled state, with his outlandish theory of the week. They are one of my top two favorite Outlander podcasts out there.
Tell you what, this outlandish theory of the week is going to be another ringer. I'm gonna ring the bell on this one, too. She's totally pregnant. Can't wait to ring the bell on this one. It's going to be great. Hey, and if for whatever reason you feel like you want to help support Mary and Blake and the Outlander cast, you can go to outlandercast.com and select the Support Us tab. And there you'll find a whole bunch of different ways to support us. Four of the five are free, but one of them is Patreon. And if for whatever reason you feel like you want to give to Mary and Blake, we would be glad to accept $1, $2, $125 billion. It'd be okay too. You know, I would. I'd be happy to accept $125 billion. Who wouldn't? Right? Wouldn't you?
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I would feel guilty.
No, we would be. I wouldn't feel guilty. I'll tell you what. I'd go join the mob. And then I'd go to Chicago. Anyway. If you'd like to give to Mary
and
Blake,
my eyes.
We would be honored to accept that. And it takes a little money to keep this show written, produced, and performed. And we'd be glad to accept any form of support you'd be willing to give. So please visit patreon.com or go to our Support Us tab, and you'll find all that stuff there. So I think that's it, kid. That's the end of our show.
That is. Hopefully, I don't have a baby this week, guys, because I want to keep doing podcast episodes.
Well, no, I think we'll keep doing it. I mean, we won't do it in the hospital.
I hope.
You want to do an episode in the hospital?
No, that's I was just going to say, you would probably want to do it. No, I don't. I don't want to do it in the hospital. I don't want to do it in labor. Don't tell me to relax. Guys,
hey,
I'm Mary.
Hey, just breathe, will you?
I'm Mary.
My name's Blake, and we're doing an episode in the hospital.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we totally are.
You're drunk.
No, I'm not drunk.
You're going to join the mob.
All right, you've been listening to the Outlander Cast. Thank you for listening, guys.
Wish me luck, guys. Please, I need it.
I love you.
Good.
Tell me you love me.
I love you, too.
Thank you. This show was a train wreck.
Bye, guys.
Bye.